If you would turn with me again, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 27. I want to return to this portion of God's Word as we come to our message this morning. We're returning to the life of David. And we have as our theme today, when smart men, when good men, make bad choices. We want to see the consequences and the fallout and the recovery from these bad choices. Let's seek God's help in prayer. Gracious Father, we want thy blessing upon us this morning. We need it above all other things. And to that end, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will come and be our teacher, that he will reveal the things of Christ to our soul, that he will open up the Word of God and give us insight and understanding to the portion that we have read, that as we meditate upon it now, that its lessons may become clear, that we will put into practice the blessed will and Word of God. We would do those things that are convenient and are proper in thy sight, that we may not be, as David was on this occasion, a good man making wrong choices. Be with us, we pray, and give us help and understanding in the things of God. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. I want you to place yourself in David's shoes just for a moment. And imagine that when you were in your youth, that you were told that you were going to be the next king of Israel. Samuel the prophet, that great man of God, has come to your family home and has identified you amongst your brothers as being the Lord's choice. And he has anointed you with oil for the office of king. The next thing you know, you're in the royal palace, playing your harp and singing for the king. And then, like a whirlwind, one after another, the steps of your life bring you to national prominence. You've killed Goliath, the giant of Gath, the champion of the Philistines, with a single stone thrown from your sling. You've been promoted in the army and made a captain over thousands. You've married the king's daughter and are best friends with his son. And it seems that every event in your life is bringing you closer and closer to the day when you will step forward and claim the throne of the land as your own. That is, until everything begins to fall apart and the cracks begin to appear in that perfectly constructed life that you're enjoying so much. You've fallen out of favor with the king. Indeed, he tries to kill you on a number of occasions. Your relationship with your wife has broken down and comes to an end. Your friendship with Jonathan is no longer something that you can enjoy. You've lost your place and position in the army. And the next thing you know, you're a fugitive on the run, escaping for your life from an insane king who is determined to kill you. Yet even as you run from your enemy, you seek to continue to live well. You spur the life of King Saul when you've had opportunity to kill him. You've shown compassion when dealing with others who you could have easily destroyed out of hand. You continue to seek God's direction for your life, believing that someday his promises will be fulfilled and all will be well. Until one day something changes. You awake as usual, but somehow the world is different today. And for the first time, doubt begins to creep into your mind and heart, and you are convinced that God has forgotten all about you. You're convinced that perhaps your enemies will eventually prevail. You become discouraged and disillusioned, and you find yourself trapped in a cycle of hopelessness. And in that state of despair, you make a decision that alters the course of your life and brings to you troubles and difficulties that you could never have imagined. A decision that will leave you broken spiritually and far from God. And in a nutshell, that's where David is found this morning. He says in his heart, in the opening verse of our chapter, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He believes that Saul will eventually catch up with him and kill him. And he says, there's nothing better for me, nothing else that I can do, than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Hunted and hounded and harassed for years by King Saul, David is brought to a position of discouragement and depression, and in that state he makes a foolish decision. A decision that will have serious consequences in his own life. He decides he's going to give up on God's plan of him being a future king of Israel. He has decided that God has forgotten about me. And so he decides that God's plan for his life has failed, and I'd be better off doing things my own way. I'll take matters into my own hand. And as I think of the stage of David's life, I see so many believers reflected in this passage. Those who have been saved by the grace of God, who for many years perhaps have walked well with God and followed God, but somewhere along the line, something didn't go to plan. Something happened in their life that they could never have envisioned, and they've become defeated and discouraged, and in that weakened spiritual condition, they've made a decision that has affected the course of their life and has brought terrible consequences. Instead of staying close to the Lord and seeking to follow His will, they walk away from God. They live lives of compromise and carnality. They've made a tragic decision that comes with a high cost. And I want to take that thought of when good people make wrong choices. And I want to point out in the life of David just some of the things that went wrong and what we might expect to happen to us if we follow a similar course of action, if we make wrong choices in our walk with God. Now, no doubt David could point to many reasons why he made this choice to go down into the land of the Philistines, but I want to point out to you what is the true source of his problem. Notice what it says in the very opening line of the verse 1. David said in his heart. There's where the problem begins. David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. David's picture of having a conversation. But instead of conversing and speaking with God in prayer and seeking God's will and purpose and plan for his life, who does David turn to for counsel? Himself. He says within his own heart, God's forgotten about me. Saul's going to catch me and kill me. Better than I should go down into the land of the Philistines. Instead of speaking with God and getting direction from God, he communes with his own heart. and the advice that he gives himself is anything but wise. It's the wrong counsel. Because if he listens to his own heart speaking, he has immediately forgotten all of the great promises that God has given to him. God promised David with a covenant that he would be the next king of Israel. That promise had been confirmed by Jonathan, the present king's son. It was reconfirmed by Abigail when he confronted Nabal. Even Saul himself, back in chapter 24 and verse 20, confessed unto David that he would be the next king of Israel. For Samuel 24 and verse 20, "And now behold," Saul said, "I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." All of these promises given by God and confirmed by others, yet David sets them all aside. He listens to the doubt that's growing in his own heart. Rather than listening and trusting in the promises of God, he should know that God is sovereign. He's controlling over all things, past and present and future. But listening to his own heart, David chose to abandon the path of life that God had set before him. He has decided it would be better if I left this place and went down to the land of the Philistines. At least there I'll be safe from Saul. He'll not follow me into the land of the Philistines. Can you imagine the future king of Israel running to the arch enemy of the people of God and seeking help and refuge from him? That's the kind of trouble that David's heart has gotten him into. He's siding with the enemies of the people of God. Now there's a warning here for us, child of God. We need to be careful in trusting our own hearts. Because when we consult with our heart as David did, we get in touch with our old human nature. And our human nature is fallen in sin. It always looks at things at an earthly level. And someone says to us, "Well, I just felt in my heart I should do this." Well, 9 times out of 10, you're headed for trouble. The scriptures warn us continually about the dangers of trusting our own feelings and our own heart. Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. When we talk to ourselves and seek our own counsel rather than the counsel and advice of God, we need to be very careful. When someone gives you the advice, just listen to what your heart is telling you. That's advice that could lead to spiritual wreck and ruin if you're foolish enough to follow it. You see, our hearts will tell us all kinds of things. "Oh, that church is dead. The people there don't like you. God is being unfair to you. You'd be better if you stayed at home." Our hearts can lead us astray. It'll tell us all kinds of things that we want to hear, but things that aren't beneficial to us. I know that many here know what I'm talking about. How our hearts can trick us and deceive us and lie to us and lead us down wrong pathways. And if we follow our own counsel rather than the Lord's, we'll find ourselves where David found himself. Out of God's will, out of God's place, out of God's fellowship. If we listen to our hearts and it brings us away from God, we'll find ourselves living in a place of spiritual compromise, a backslider, away from God, out of fellowship with God. David made wrong decisions because he listened to his own heart and it led him astray rather than trusting in the promises of God. having made this decision to leave Israel and go down to the land of the Philistines, I want you to notice some of the results, some of the consequences of this foolish choice. In verses 2 and 3, we're told that David arose and he passed over, that is, he went into the land of the Philistines with the 600 men that were with him. And we're told in verse 3 that David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and even David with his two wives. Notice what's happening. Other people are affected by David's choice. Everyone's life that David touched was affected by his decision. 600 men, their wives, their families, everyone around David was brought down by his decision. He has faced them all in a position of compromise and temptation, a place outside of the will of God because of one man that listened to his heart instead of listening to the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 that none of us liveth unto himself and no man dieth to himself. What is he saying? That everything that we do in our lives touches and impacts upon the lives of those around us. No man lives unto himself nor dies unto himself. No man is an island. When a husband or wife steps out of God's will, it affects their marriage. When one or both parents refuse to live by God's standards, it impacts upon their children. People at school or at work or within church are touched or impacted by the way that we live our lives. We don't always know who's watching us or who's listening to us. We don't know who we might be helping or hindering. When we give advice and follow our hearts and walk away from the Lord. But we do need to remember that there is a price. There's a price to be paid when we affect others in a negative way in the things of God. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 17 that it is impossible but that offenses will come. We will have an impact upon others in the negative arena. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. When we by our decisions and choices affect in the negative sense those around us, there's a price to be paid. And David's decision has affected the people around him. It affects the very pattern and shape of his life. His decision to walk away from the Lord and his promises leads David into some terrible situations. He's left with a false sense of security in verse 4. David was fled to Gath and he sought no more again for him that Saul. He thinks I'm safe in Gath, safe from trouble. But by verse 5, he's in the wrong crowd. He's with Achish. He's saying, give me a place in your country. Let me be a servant to the king of the Philistines. He aligns himself not with the friends of God, but with the enemies of God. You read through the verses 8 to 12, and you'll find David doing things that he would never have done before. He's murdered, and he's lied, and he submits himself to the enemies of God. The whole fabric of his life has been changed and altered by the foolish decision that he made. Verse 7 tells us that he was there for a year and 4 months, 16 months of his life in the land of the Philistines. I'm sure he was longer there than what he ever anticipated that he would be. What's interesting is that when you come to the book of Psalms, that record of David's life and testimony and walk with God, there are no Psalms that are attributed to this time in David's life. The sweet psalmist of Israel has lost his song. He's out of fellowship with God in a place that he ought not to be in, keeping company with people he should never have been with, doing things he would never have dreamt of doing before. He has lost his song. And believer, when we make those foolish decisions to walk away from the Lord, away from the place of blessing, our lives will be affected in the negative. We'll be doing things that we would never have dreamt of. We'll be keeping company with those that we would never have kept company with before. Our entire lifestyle will have changed, and before we know it, weeks and months and even years will have passed, and we, like the prodigal, would be languishing in the far country. And our song of praise to the Lord, the joyfulness in knowing that Christ is our Savior and all is well with our soul, the song will have gone. Our joy will have dried up. We cannot walk away from God and His promises and not be affected. In fact, I would say that if walking away from the things of God does not affect or alter your life, and I'd venture to say that you were never saved to begin with. The people in his life were affected. The pattern of his life was affected. The peace of his life was affected. When you go home today, you read on to the end of the book. Chapters 28 and 29 and 30, you'll find that David languishes in the land of the Philistines. There's an old song that goes something like this, that sin will take you farther than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. We see that fleshed out in the life of David. He has fallen as far as it is possible for a man to fall. He's out of God's will. He's in company with the enemies of God. One thing we can be glad of, he's not enjoying himself. He's not having the good time that he thought that he might have. He may have lost his identity as a man of God. What's extremely sad is that when we get to chapter 29, we find David lining up with the army of the Philistines to go and do battle against who? The nation of Israel. He's lining up to go into battle against his own nation. He falls to tremendous depths. We see him groveling at the feet of a pagan king. We see him declaring himself to be his servant. He even says to the king that the enemies of my king are my enemies too. In other words, I'll fight against Israel for it. But he eventually reaps the harvest that he has sown. You see, the Philistines didn't want him either. And when he was away with the army of the Philistines to go and fight against Israel, the Amalekites attacked and burned the city of Ziklag, where he and his family and friends had been staying. His wives and his children and those of his soldiers were taken captive. And eventually he reaches rock bottom. In chapter 30 and verse 6, we're told of how his own men spake of stoning him. They're going to stone David. Why? Because he's the one that's ultimately responsible. All of the tragedies that have befallen us here in the land of the Philistines are a result of David's foolish decision. Sin has taken everything away from him. What a frightening portrait of the power and potential of sin in our lives. When we walk away from the Lord, it can cost us everything. His family, his friends, his future, it all seems bleak. And if we think that we can walk away from the Lord without consequences, we are only fooling ourselves. There is a price to pay. God is not mocked. Whatsoever in a man soweth, that also shall he reap. David has sown to the wind, he's going to reap of the whirlwind. There are devastating results upon his decision to leave God and his will behind. There is one last thought I want to leave with you. Not just the reasons for his decision and the results of his decision, but the recovery from his decision. When we get to chapter 30 in verse 6, we find his men ready to stone him because their wives and children have been taken captive by the Amalekites. We read at the end of the 6th verse that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm glad the story doesn't end with David at the bottom of life. I'm glad we witness his recovery from sin and his return to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. His money spent, his friends gone, he's languishing with the pigs, would fain have filled his belly with the husk that they did eat. And we're told something about the prodigal then, that he came to his senses. David has come to his senses, and he encourages himself in the Lord. What did the prodigal say to himself when he came to his senses? He realized, I've sinned against God. David has come to the same realization. Having lost all that he could lose, at long last David now looks to heaven again. He's looked at all of the broken lives shattered around. He's considered everything that's happened as the result of that foolish conversation with his own heart. The downward spiral that he's been on this last 16 months. Now he raises his gaze heavenward, comes to his senses, and seeks to encourage himself in the Lord his God. He repents before God, and he seeks then to rely upon God, because in the very next verse, we're told that David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. He's doing now what he should have done at the beginning. Call upon the Lord. Seek God's will. Seek God's help. David is now back in a place where he is inquiring of God. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, that is the Lord, answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor. He told verse 10 that David pursued, and they eventually conquered those who took their wives and families. Well, it's interesting that having inquired of the Lord, that now David heeds what God has said. But previously he was making the decisions, now God is directing. Having given instruction, David does not hesitate. He goes out immediately and does what God has told him. He's not walking in the will of his own flesh any longer. He's back in the center of God's will. He's walking God's pathway. David is fully restored. Most of what we've seen of David this morning are lessons of what we should not do. But this last passage clearly shows us what we ought to do when we have allowed ourselves to get away from God. The first step is this, to repent of the sins that have separated between us and God. Deal honestly with your sin. Confess them to the Lord. And when sin is confessed and repented of before God, he tells us that he will forgive us that sin. That's encouraging, because there's not one of us that don't need that encouragement. There's not one of us as children of God that have not fallen into sin from time to time. Not one of us that haven't wandered far from God. But we need to know that we can come to God in repentance of our sin and find complete forgiveness. I want you to notice what God's response was to David when he came back to God in repentance and sought him again. Remember, David has been away from God for 16 months. And eventually he falls on his knees before God and deals with his sin. And what does God say to David? I'm sorry, David, but you've crossed the line this time. I found someone new to be king. Did God say that? No, he didn't. Does God say to David, well, David, you've been away for 16 months. I'll put you on a 3-month probation. And if after 3 months things are still going well, then we'll talk about a permanent restoration. That's what God said. No, it's not. Did he say, well, David, I'll forgive you, but know this, things can never be the same again. God said none of those things. When David in a right spirit sought the Lord in repentance and faith, he found that God instantly forgave him and restored him and communicated with him. God's answer is swift and sure and accurate. Oh yes, there may be earthly prices to pay for the sins that we commit. But when God forgives, he forgives immediately. And he forgives completely. And he forgives eternally. Why, is that not what our heart needs today from God? His forgiveness. Immediate, complete, eternal. Best of all, free. We don't pay for it. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We can't afford it. But it's given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death upon the cross cancelled our debt of sin, would wash us whiter than the snow, would grant us pardon and forgiveness. It's through our Savior that we have peace with God. And when we get bent out of shape, when we make wrong decisions, when we have wandered off course, when we find ourselves away from God, having made foolish decisions to get there, know that as we repent of those decisions, as we return to God, we receive his complete forgiveness. It's something to rejoice in. And after David's restoration, we find the joy of his life returns, the joy of the Lord's salvation. There's songs of praise bubbling up in his heart for the pardon he's received from God. Child of God, is that not something that we all desire today? To be at peace with God and to be enjoying his salvation. It's there, be lonely. Seek the Lord. Confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If I'm speaking to one this morning that has never enjoyed peace with God, you've never been saved, will know that there's pardon to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Son of God came to this world to die upon a cross, not for sins and crimes that He had committed, but for ours. And if we would but call upon Him, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we're told in the Scriptures. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, trusting in Him for the saving of their souls, He saves completely. He saves eternally. Don't go home today separated from God. Don't go home today at a distance from God. Go home today rejoicing in the knowledge that you are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we know that song of joy, praise, knowing that we are walking humbly before our God. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. May we go home today rejoicing that we are in Christ and that we are safe and secure for all eternity. Amen.